All right. Welcome, everybody. This is Mary Craig Ministries and Craig House Christian Fellowship. We are in our series, How to Survive in the Kingdom of God. Today's message is The Law of Cause and Effect, Part 3. Today's date is October 24, 2021. This is a live teleservice, and I am Dr. Mary Craig. So let's pray. Father God, we thank you and thank you for the body and blood sacrifice of Jesus Christ on our behalf. We thank you, Lord, for his life of perfect personal perpetual obedience, even obedience leading to the cross, the atoning work of Jesus Christ on our behalf. And Lord, we thank you that he paid the penalty for our sin and satisfied all the divine justice. We thank you, Lord, that he died, that he was buried, that he was raised the third day, and he ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Almighty. We thank you, God. We thank you that he is coming again, and we pray that you would enable us to be overcomers, overcoming in his name. And Lord, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, we thank you for the sending of the Holy Spirit, and we thank you, Lord, that that the Holy Spirit is the one who guides us into all truth. We ask that the Holy Spirit reveal Jesus Christ to us as he is the Spirit of wisdom and revelation. Grant us wisdom to know these laws of the kingdom of God, that we might survive, that we might overcome, that we might persevere and press on, Lord, and we might know the mind of Christ. Open the eyes of our minds to comprehend and perceive and understand, and open the eyes of our hearts to receive what you have for us today. We thank you, Lord. We want to know who you are, because that is what causes us to be who we are. And we give you the praise and we give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so we're continuing our discussion of the law of cause and effect. And this is part 3. And we're going through these spiritual laws or spiritual precepts that govern life within the kingdom of God. Knowing who God is causes me to be who I am. Okay, and especially who I am in Christ. When Jesus Christ has saved us, we want to know him. There is a desire to know what he has accomplished and how we appropriate all the things that Jesus has accomplished. What are the promises of God? We wonder. And what does it matter? We wonder. The more we know about who God is and how he operates, the better life goes. I see many people come into the kingdom and they need to read their Bibles to study the Word of God to show themselves a workman approved. They need to learn to pray and come into a relationship with the living God who is sovereign and holy. God is a sovereign cause and man is a free moral agent responsible for responding to his Creator in obedience. We have our part, as we found when we talked about Jeremiah 18. Man is likewise a secondary cause. It's almost as if there's a principle, as we do, God will do. God relates to us in a cause and effect relationship. It's a relationship of covenant. It is establishing the covenant and the kingdom of God, which is to be preached to all creation. So we want to look today at Abram in Genesis chapter 12. For here we read, The Lord said to Abram, Go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great. And so you shall be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abram went forth as the Lord had spoken to him. Okay, well, let's back up. What if Abram hadn't gone forth as the Lord had spoken to him? But you see, these are the words whose source is God, and they cannot fail. Why can they not fail? Because of the one who spoke them. God spoke them. We have a promise, but notice that it had a condition. You go, and I will. You go, blah, 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 and I will. I will, all these I wills. And you will be, and it's a lot of I wills that he would go. And what's going to happen? And all these promises here, a list of them. All these blessings were going to come only if Abram went forth from his country and from his relatives and from his father's house to the land that God was going to show him. And he, you know, he has to just step out in faith. We call it faith because he has to believe what God says before he sees any result. Now, I have been in Haran. Haran is in Turkey, and modern-day Turkey is in Turkey. And I've been there. It's a 5,000-year-old city, and it's considered the birthplace, so to speak, of three religions. Judaism and Christianity and Islam, all connected back to Abraham. And you go there and they have these little houses that are beehives. They look like beehives and they're called beehives. And they have a school, little school there, and they take you through these ruins that trace back to Abraham, they say. And you look at the countryside, and it was 120 degrees, and you look at the countryside, and you go out into the countryside, and if you saw the pictures during the Iraq War, and if they ever showed pictures of the desert, like around Syria, because this was not too far, you'll see what that terrain looks like. And Abram was from Ur of the Chaldees. Well, the word Ur, U-R, just means city. So it really just meant he was from a Chaldean city. But he was in city life, and he left everything and went out into that, just had to head out into that nothingness. It's very barren, and it's a little spooky because the way the land rolls, you honestly don't see anybody until they get to the top of some mound or whatever it is. You don't see them, and suddenly, you know, there could be one person or a whole bunch of people. So it gave me a much greater appreciation of what military people were living in or being sent to Iraq and Afghanistan, and that terrain over there is something else, and it's hot, and it's just unreal. So some of it you'd think, you know, you're on another planet or something, or the moon or someplace. Anyway, but he did it. He did go forth. So, you see, first we believe, and then we see. Abram has conditions to fulfill in order that the promises of God are to come to pass. But he believes what God says, and he responds with actions. Because God has promised, Abram responds in faith, and then this secondary cause has an effect. As we respond to God, the sovereign cause, we in turn become a secondary cause that has an effect. We believe God. Okay. And of course, in Abram's case, it was bound to happen because it was the plan. It was the plan. It was going to happen. First of all, there is God, the sovereign cause, and then he gives us promises and tells us certain things in his word. And then as we believe, we step out in action. There's an action that takes place. That action then also is a cause, a secondary cause, that has an effect. Here the effect is that Abram inherits the promise. It becomes reality then in the physical realm. Again, it is do this and you will live because I am the Lord, your God. Okay, so that's something we want to consider today. It is to remember the Lord your God. It all rests in going back to the source, God, of who is the one who has these words and making these promises and that they are true. Also, because he is the creator God. He is the sovereign Lord. If we can believe, all things are possible to the one that believes. But there is a condition there. If we can believe. You see, an active faith can give thanks for a promise even though it is not yet performed. Why? Because we know that God's bonds, B-O-N-D-S, are as good as, well, like ready money. It's just like money in the bank. Not today, not money in the bank today. Money in the bank is not sure. What is sure? Anything? Nothing in the world today, I don't think. But anyway, it's just as, we used to say it's as good as gold. It's as good as gold. but gold even is a fluctuating market. All right, passive faith accepts the word as true, but doesn't move. You could say, I believe that that's true, that's the word of God, and it's true. But a passive faith never moves. It doesn't change anything in our lives. An active faith begins the work, and therefore it more or less proves, it comes out, it comes to pass. We have to step out. A passive faith says, I believe it, every word of God is true, and I know he hasn't spoken what he's not going to do. He said, go forth, like here with Abram. He says, go forth from your country, right? So he says, go forth, or maybe he says, go forward. But in front of that, we could say, I see a closed up way, or maybe when the waters are divided, then I'll cross over. You know, show me, and then I'll do it. Or we might hear a voice commanding, rise and walk, take up your bed, or stretch forth your withered hand. Or whatever, and then a passive faith would say, well, maybe when I'm a little stronger, then I know I can surely stand up. Okay. So we're trying to have this rationalized here. We want a totally rationalized faith. Okay, maybe there comes some sort of healing to some extent. Then I'll stretch forth my hand. And I know that God is able and that he is willing to do something. I believe the promise, and maybe sometime it will come to me and will become true. That's how passive faith is. It's just kind of halting. It's a wavering faith. Well, it's just, whatever it is, it's just not quite there. Okay. An active faith says, yes, I believe and I take this promise right now. I know right now as I receive this promise that God will make it real. God will make it so. The Holy Spirit will make it so. Therefore, I can step into the waters. I can find as I step forth, there is going to be an open way. The waters will open before me. Actually, we leave the how to God. Leave the how to God. We don't know how he's going to do it. We don't know. And we're not to play Holy Spirit. This is how God is going to do it. We don't know how God is going to do it. I go on the land as I step on the land. If there's some promise, like everywhere you step, I'll give you the land, or whatever, it doesn't happen until you step out on the land. So if God says, rise up, I will rise up and I'll just start walking and with joy. I'll take joy in my Lord. I will remember the Lord my God. He is faithful and he also will bring it to pass. I know that God is able and fully willing to do as he says. I will believe every promise that it might come true. Okay, and I will just, because this is a short message today, I will just say this, that in beginning Mary Craig Ministries, as an example, I clearly had a call, and I didn't know how God was going to do it. I didn't even know, you know, I just had the call to do whatever, and ironically, I mean, it was my sister who said to me, well, you know, she said, I'll design a business card for you. She knew how to do that. So she said, I'll design, she said, let's just design a business card and order, you know, 250 business cards like that. And that was a step of faith that began Mary Craig Ministries. I said, okay. And after that, it, one thing led to another. And my husband and I had gone in to see the senior pastor of the church where we were going. And he didn't know I was a businesswoman, but he challenged me to organize a 501c3, you know, to get it going and everything. And he was kind of confirmation and blah, blah, blah. And so we walked out of there, and I remember Jim laughed because he said he doesn't know you because you're always working with an attorney and a CPA. So we came back a week later, and because see, what did I do? I just called the lawyer and I called the CPA, and a week later we were established just like that, right? And of course, the pastor of this church, I don't know whether he thought it'll never happen because most people are reticent to go to a lawyer and get, you know, maybe not so much with the CPA, but to have, you know, an ongoing accountant like that. But my dad had been a lawyer, so I was kind of used to it, and I had been, today they would be, I would be called today a paralegal, I guess. Anyway, it's where you do practically all of the work, but you don't have the responsibility that an attorney has. So that's how we began. That's how Mary Craig Ministries began. And then the next step, you know, we got organized, and then we opened a bank account. We put all the money in ourselves because the ministry didn't have any money. And then, you know, and then that was the step of faith. And here we are, like, 28 years later, and all this stuff, and never expected, you know, didn't know what God would do with it all, you know. And we're more of a specialized ministry in a way, how God has led this ministry over the years. And so it's kind of interesting. It's just kind of interesting how God has led. But we leave the how to God. And but we take a step, each step. We have to just, you know, we have a thing with mission trips that we go ahead, and my whole attitude has always been, you take a step, and it does no harm, a step of faith. So it does no harm. So depending on what God has told you to do, and you have to start, and despise not small beginnings. Despise not small beginnings. God is looking for faithfulness. Faithfulness. Did you do what he asked you to do? Faithfulness. That's what's important to the Lord. Okay, so we're talking about God being the sovereign cause, and we're also a secondary cause. What we do as a cause also has an effect. Paul said in Acts 27, verse 25, I believe God that it shall be even as it was told to me. I'll say it again. This is Paul. I believe God that it shall be even as it was told to me. Acts 27, verse 25. And now I'm just going to, I guess I do have some more. Okay, we'll see. I want to relay a story about George Mueller. I think it's Mueller. And an encounter with George Mueller. He's the one from Bristol, England, that was very much known for prayer and for believing God. And this is the story. Now, I found several versions of this story, so only God knows the actual true story of what happened. But some versions are on, and I'm taking this from georgemueller.org. My eye is not on the fog, which you'll find out what that means in a minute. Okay, so the story goes like this, or kind of like this, we should say, really. I went to America some years ago with a captain of a steamer who was a very devoted Christian. Off the coast of Newfoundland, he said to me, last time I crossed here 5 weeks ago, something happened which revolutionized the whole of my Christian life. We had George Mueller of Bristol on board. I had been on the bridge 24 hours and never left it. George Mueller came to me and said, Captain, I have come to tell you that I must be in Quebec Saturday afternoon. Impossible, I said. Very well. If your ship cannot take me, God will find some other way. I have never broken an engagement for 57 years. Let's go down into the chart room and pray. Okay. I looked at that man of God and thought to myself, what lunatic asylum can that man have come from? I had never heard such a thing as this. Mr. Mueller, I said, do you know how dense this fog is? No, he replied. My eye isn't on the density of the fog, but on the living God who controls every circumstance of my life. He knelt down and prayed a very simple prayer, and when he finished, I was going to pray. He put his hand on my shoulder and told me not to pray. He said, first, you do not believe he will answer, and second, I believe that he has. There is no need whatsoever for you to pray about it. I looked at him, and he said, Captain, I have known my Lord for 57 years, and there has never been a single day that I have failed to get an audience with the King. Get up, Captain, and open the door. You will find the fog is gone. I got up, and that fog was indeed gone. On Saturday afternoon, George Mueller was in Quebec for his engagement. Okay, and you can read more about him, georgemueller.org. They have a devotional with all kinds of little stories and stuff on it, whatever. All right, so that's cool. So remember the Lord your God. Knowing who God is causes me to be who I am. Act in response to God. It's the way faith works. Now, I was on the on my computer. This was before losing the internet or whatever. Anyway, it was on there, and I was going through some things pertaining to remember the Lord thy God, but I couldn't find it. But then I landed on this word that I had received back September 29, 2001. So that's like 20 years ago. And I'm going to read this out because I was astounded, and you can kind of see what was then and think about where are we now. This is what I believe I received from the Lord. My heart is grieved. My heart is grieved. What else will man think up to do? How he corrupts himself. He brings the judgment to himself. Have I not told them? Have I not warned them? Is this because I have pleasure in what is happening and the evil that is occurring? No. It is the consequence of their corruption, of their evil, the evil of their hearts, the evil of their minds. They spend their time plotting evil on their beds. They dream about it. They think about it. They plot and they plan evil. Is this my word? Do they speak of me? No. They claim to know me, but they do not know me. Even the animals cry out to me. The blood cries out to me from the earth. Their blood is crying out because of the evil. The blood of the animals cries. The blood of children cries. The blood of women cries out to me. Death, death, death. Many call to me to arise, and I will arise. I am rising right now. I have seen what they do. I know of their plots, what they conspire, and my people have prayed. And here's a quote, do not grant the desires of the wicked. Do not promote their evil devices, lest they be exalted. They will not be exalted. I am moving slowly, quietly, surely. They do not see me, for they do not know me. Nations are being divided out now. Who is on the Lord's side? Come over here. Soon. I will strike soon. I am Jehovah Makkeh, the covenant Lord who strikes. Pray for grace, for mercy, for light. Before I am finished, they will be praying that the caves fall on them and the rocks fall on them. But do not be puffed up in pride as if your hand did this. When I strike, do not glorify yourselves, for is it not my name that is dishonored here? Do I not contend for my glory, for the name of my son, whom they mock, whom they deny? Yes, it is for my glory, for my name's sake, I do it. So do not be puffed up in pride when I strike, lest you also perish. Pray for repentance, for death comes to every one of you. And some are resurrected in the resurrection of the just, and others are resurrected also in the resurrection of the unjust. They are marked. The sifting and the sorting is almost done. Prepare your hearts now. Be careful what you pray. I am the Lord. Remember the Lord your God. And that's the end of that word that I received. So I was just astounded, and I thought I was really led to release that word again, you know, today in Jesus' name. And we say amen, and let's pray. Father God, we come before you, and you are an awesome God, and we know our lives are in your hands. You are our next breath, Lord. Help us to be thankful that we even breathe. Help us to be thankful for the air we breathe. Help us, Lord, to be thankful for anything that we have. And Lord, thank you for taking care of us and protecting and providing and pitying our frame and remembering we're only dust. Thank you for preserving us, for preventing us with your goodness. Thank you for empowering us, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you are willing to let us come into your presence And Lord, that at times you manifest your presence in ways that are tangible to us. And we thank you, Lord God. We thank you for how you move, and even the, you know, sometimes not just the parking spaces, but all kinds of things. And thank you, Lord. Thank you. And we know that some of this is increased since 2001. In the last 20 years, it's gotten worse. But we also know that just suddenly, evil has its day, and then suddenly, Jesus shows up. Epiphania, Jesus shows up and he shines. He shines forth in the glory of that shining, Lord. He shines forth and he shoots down his enemies. He strikes and in that, Lord, our faith is strengthened. But Lord, help us to be humble and help us, Lord, to repent. For it is not just others who sin, but we all are sinners. We are all sinners, and we all need grace and great grace. And so we lift this up before you, Lord, and we thank you that we can come boldly to the throne of grace to obtain mercy and to find grace and favor in a timely way, because it's favor. It's favor. It's not anything we deserve. It's favor. We ask you for it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. And now if you please stand for the benediction.
Hebrews 13:20-21. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.